And I shared them all with her, gave her half and I had half. And then I suggested that we put them via, you know, a cabinet thing like the Olivers have got, and put all the things in there that were actually theirs from the house. And she wouldn't have a bar of it. She didn't believe in those sort of things. And I was very lousy that I'd ever given them to her.
Yes, I can understand
that. Because I didn't want all the things because I had, you know, I had all I wanted. She wouldn't. So I don't know who's got her things. Daughters might have them, or they might have thrown them out, I don't know. But I was very annoyed with her about that.
Where were you going to put the cabinet?
Down at the museum in Claremont. Because as far as I can remember, that used to be the water policeman lived there. And when I was very small, we used to go and be taken of an afternoon and play in that reserve. And I would never go home until we used to go with him. He used to patrol in a little boat up, and he used to take us in the boat and back. Then he used to, in that where they've got our old-fashioned landos or whatever they are.
Landos?
You know, old-fashioned horse-drawn things. They've got, well, they had one there the last time I went, the day I went. And, well, he used to have a cow in there, and he used to milk the cow when we came back, and I would never come home until I got a glass of milk. It was hot, you know, I used to think it was beautiful. My cousins used to be so disgusted with me, but we'd never go home until I got the milk.
Did you? Did you help to milk the cow?
I'm afraid I did. Or I learned. I used to like to be able to learn to do everything. And still, I liked the milk anyway.
Do you remember much about the policeman?
Well, the policeman I remember was a Mr. Foley. And when my grandfather was station master, they used to have a little... It used to be like, I used to call it a sentry box near the station. He used to be there. And when we'd get off the we were posted to Claremont every Friday because we were so little we had to go in the, with a guard. We weren't allowed to go in the carriages. And when we get off, he was about the first person I ever looked for, Mr. Foley. He used to call me Father Daniel, because he reckoned I was my grandfather's name was Bernard Daniel, and Mr. Farley was an ardent Catholic, and of course he reckoned that nobody with the name of Bernard Daniel couldn't be a Catholic, so of course he used to call me Father Daniel because I was the image of my grandfather. And then we used to go across the road and go in the hansom cab around the corner to my grandparents. But the horse used to go so slowly that we always arrived about half an hour before it did. It just carried our cases. And we weren't very popular with him. But, they were quite well known in Claremont. We always had to be on the best behaviour for that reason, to be read very nicely. I think we had the most marvellous childhood down there that anybody could ever have. They were the most wonderful couple. They never argued or never growled at us. The only time I ever got growled at was when I crowned my cousin with a basin of cream my grandmother had just mixed up. She was very dark and she's always having little sniggery bits, calling me carrots or red or ginger or all those sort of things. And this day I'd had it, and the cream was the handiest thing, and she copped the lot. And I remember I was sent to go and get another bottle, and of course we weren't allowed to cross Stirling Highway, and I had to cross it by myself, but I didn't. I went and got Horace Gallop, he took me over. But I never let on to that. It was very dangerous. I'd like to see it now.
What was very dangerous?
Crossing Stirling Highway. Was, you know, it was busy in comparison with all the other streets. Mm. We weren't allowed to cross it unless we had an adult with us. But, not that we ever had to, because she always took us every week. I had to go to Mr. Rogers' grocery shop and get a bottle of milk. A bottle of cream, because he said to me, what are you doing with another lot of cream? Your grandmother got one this morning. I said, yes, but I crowned Coralie with it.
Where was the grocery shop?
I forget the street, but it's Goldsworthy Road to the corner of Stirling Highway, and then it continues on towards the railway line. That little street there was on the corner.
Right.
And my grandmother had a relative, Sherwood, Gwen Sherwood, I think her name was. They were plumbers, and she used to help her husband in the plumber's shop, which was very... My grandmother never owned her as a cousin, because she used to slop around in rubber boots. Anyhow, years later, she and her husband bought a horse called Chestnut Lady, which is one of the outstanding horses here. Mother saw this G&G Sherwood, and she thought it couldn't be them, you know. So I said, if ever I see her, I'll go and ask her. So she said, oh, you better not. Anyway, I saw her in the grandstand one day, so I went up and asked her if Fanny Teresa Ryder meant anything to her, and she said, yes, she's my cousin. I said, well, I'm her granddaughter. So I said, we're wondering if it was you, and she said, it's me, all right. So she said, what did your mother want to know for? And I said, well, I'd hate to tell you, but I said, she wanted to know if you still had your rubber boots on. My husband then said, hey, what are you doing up there with the Shields? And I said, oh, I'm related to her. And she was quite a funny old lady. She had long dress right down to her ankles and very old fashioned. I don't think he quite approved her as a relative of mine, but she was very nice.
Why didn't he approve?
Oh, just the way she was dressed.
What was unusual about her?
Oh, she was old fashioned. You know, like Lady Lefroy out there, she always used to wear those little toque hats.
Oh, I don't know what they are.
Just little, you know, like the Russians wear, but smaller. Bon Marché used to have to make them for her, so she had a supply of them. So she was a bit of a giggle too.
When was that? Can you remember? What sort of time were you thinking
of? Oh, that was about 1950. They'd given up plumbing by then.
Mm.
They used to have a plumbing place in Stirling Highway, just up from Goldsworthy Road.
Mm.
But that, where my grandfather was really only loaned to the WAGR as it was, but they came over here soon after that. It's got 1895 on that.
Oh, yes.
That was, she had grandma had four children, and the baby, he died with leukemia early in 1895, and then that was the oldest one. He died in 1985, and she wanted to get out of Sydney as quick as she could.
Mm.
And they wanted someone to come over here to the Claremont, because they were very good with animals. And he was a station master at Heathcote in Sydney, and that was sort of in the country. And I think they had a farmyard all of their own out the back, because Mother used to hate animals. She said the geese used to nip her legs, and and she hated the chooks, and she hated them crowing and all this sort of business, but they had the same thing down at Claremont was a huge long block. Anyway, they wanted someone to come to Claremont who had a knowledge of sort of handling animals, because everything used to come to the show by train.
Mm-hmm.
They used to shunt it up the side of the platform. And he came there not intending to stay. And the only place they came early before the man who was at Claremont was to leave. And of course they didn't have anywhere for them to live, and they sent them up to Zamia, this side of Mundaring, and it had a sand floor, and I think it was a wooden place, and swarming with little black fleas. And of course my grandmother had come from a home where they had butlers and maids and all that sort of thing, and it was a bit of a letdown. So she reckoned she wasn't going to stay. And so they eventually got a house in William Street, and that was next to Lady Courtney, her family, and a girl that married married the Carris. I don't know what his Christian name. Married him, Treadgold, and Dr. Fitch's grandparents, the Cohens, and they remained friends all their lives, even when there were about five of them all together. And even when my grandmother was in Claremont, though, they still were friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they he didn't go to Claremont straight away. They sent him to Bayswater to fill in time. And then from Bayswater he went to Claremont, because he stayed there. I think my grandmother died in 1926. And he was like, by then he was the number two in the railway. And they wanted a new commissioner. Instead of giving it to him, they gave it to Mr. Pope, and he was so lousy, he said, well, I could keep the railway, so he left and came up here and lived with us in Subi, and he was an accountant and a jeweller and an engraver.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first we know of the family was when they appeared at Ballarat, where they'd come from England. And because when he came from Sydney, they brought 8 race horses and a trainer and a jockey, and I think he got rid of them. I think they were very bad. And we finished up. We had 1 race horse in the Claremont, and he used to drive a phaeton. My grandmother used to drive us everywhere in this phaeton, depending on where we were going. She had a relation, lived opposite the opposite the Continental Hotel.
Whereabouts is that?
It's not there now, it's a big block of units, but that was down in Victoria Avenue, and this house faced the street, but at the back of it went to the water. And their name was Hudson, and the husband was the manager of the sugar refinery down at Long Blackall Reach.
Mm.
And they used to live the way that the family did in Sydney. We always had, that was only 2 or 3 streets away, we always had to go in the phaeton. When we got there, the groomsman used to come out and he'd hold the horse. Well, that horse was trained. He didn't go anywhere unless he got the signal. He would have stayed there all day. And I used to always ask her, what's he got to stand out there for? And she had a maid, you know, had to have a black dress and a white cap and apron, and a housekeeper did something else, and a gardener did something else. We were not allowed to sit at the table with them. We had to sit at a children's table on our own, which I didn't approve of at all. Because my grandmother, she refused to have that. We all used to have meals together. And I never ever met my 2 cousins because they were always away at school. And if they were on holidays, well, I had a woman looked after them who used to take them away for holidays somewhere. That to me was nuts. And I never ever met them. And my father knew one of them because he was a farmer at, I think it was Meriden. And my father used to often go up so many times a year to Caliberran to do some accountancy work. And of course they used to meet on the train. And that's all I ever know about them. But we used to have to sit there, you know, we weren't allowed to say anything, and I didn't like it too much. Because my cousin was very, very polite, and when we were leaving, she'd always thank Cousin Nellie for having us, you know, and she'd enjoyed herself. And I used to say, well, I didn't. She used to give us bread and butter with hundreds and thousands on, which is kid stuff. And I used to say, if we had stayed at home, we could have had a nice sponge cake with some cream and strawberries on it. But she didn't like Coralie, she liked me. Yeah.
What was Coralie's other name?
Ryder.
And how was she related to you?
Well, she was my cousin. My mother and her father were brother and sister.
Mm.
They were the two that were left out of the family of four. He was an accountant. He worked for Connor Doherty in Durack. And quite a lot of the time, they started off when he was originally married, when he went up north, but he went in charge of the Wyndham Meat Works. That was early in the 1900s. And then from there, he went to where they exported it from Broome. They lived in Broome for many years, and they were quite, you know, I think they were born up there, because we didn't actually go there of weekends until we were about three or four, so for a few years, and then he came back here to Perth. And then he went on sort of an audit thing with them. He used to go, you know, if a butcher shop was going bankrupt, he used to go in and look it over and go through all the books. He used to go all over the state and eventually finished up in Sydney. And I don't know what happened in Sydney, but they eventually separated. And the wife and the children came back and lived at Fremantle. She was one of the Hoey family in Fremantle, who were quite well known.
Mm.
And she was a Margaret Hoey.
How do you spell that?
H-O-E-Y.
Mm.
Mm.
So it was your mother and her father who were related, is that what you said?
Yeah,
brother
and sister. They call, they, the only ones in the family that's spelled R-I-D-E-R, it's really R-Y-D-E-R. But when they came to Australia and they, with Ballarat, they opened a shop there, jewellers and engravers, and it was called Ryder and Mercer. And they spelled it R-I-D-E-R so that they wouldn't be confused with the family, because the father was quite a rich man and he didn't want it, he wanted it separated. And of course eventually everybody called them R.I., but all my relations are all R.Y.D.E. I don't know them, but they are R.Y. I think my mother's most celebrated one is Sue Ryder, you know, Ryder Cheshire Homes. She lives in London, in Suffolk. They've retired now. But she's like a generation on from me, because her father was the eldest. He was a Viscount or something or other. My grandfather, he was just Mr. And she's Lady Ryder on one side and she's a Baroness on the other. I did meet her once. She came here, she was staying with the Kyles, and he was the Lieutenant Governor here.
Mm.
I was lucky I got to be invited to a, it was a fundraising thing, but they didn't get any money out of me. But it was very nice. And she was the image of my, these relations, the same colouring and everything. She didn't have red hair.
Where did your red hair come from?
Well, my grandmother had red hair, and my father had, it wasn't actually red, it was a very dark Titian colour. I think I finished up always being called Ginger. With a permanent nickname. But, my father had beautiful curly hair. And, I used to have wavy hair when I was little, and I had to get shaved off because I had rheumatic fever and it went straight. But it was terrible, always, you know, very thick and always long. Because Coralie had long black hair, and it's great being called Ginger all the time. I didn't like it.
When did you have rheumatic fever?
When I was 11.
Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you were going to visit your grandparents in Claremont?
Oh, from about 4 to 14, mm-hmm. until 1926. I was born in 1912. And I used to go there then. They were living down in Goldsworthy Road then. And it was a beautiful house on the first corner that runs parallel with Stirling Highway. There are only a few houses. People at the back of it were the Walkups. And we used to play with Alan Walkup. And I've gotten the people next door towards the highway, and then the Gallops live next door. That's where I met them. And, we were always in there annoying them, I think. And it was a house that had started to, you know, get run down. And my grandfather was very good at woodwork. He used to make children's toys, and the big ones, you know, trucks and wagons and things like this. He used to spend hours doing it. And he got to, and he did an awful lot of work on this house. It was beautiful when he'd finished it. When it was finished, the man that owned it sold it. So he said, well, I'll never do anything to another house. And then they went to 21 Bernard Street. That's where we were most of the time. And that was a beautiful house. They were like just the two blocks, one onto Stirling Highway and the one onto Bernard Street. And the people at the back were the Rodriguez family. And they had two. One became Bert Oliver, and the other one, she married a Woolbar Prevost. And then she became Mrs. Grave. And but they were absolutely gorgeous when they were young, you know, very Spanish they were. And my boy cousin, he was about 10, I suppose, at the most, he used to lean over the fence and talk to them because they're always sunbathing. And he always used to say, when I grow up, I'm going to marry one of you. And he was never going to marry me because I had red hair. But he thought they were wonderful, these girls.
Which boy cousin is that?
These girls. Barney Ryder, he's their brother.
So there were two girls and a boy?
Two girls and a boy.
What were the girls' names?
Coralie was the eldest one and Gloria was the young one.
Mm. And where did the boy fit in?
He was in the middle. Mm. And he was very, very clever. He went to the university and he became a... Well, he did two things, a structural engineering degree and an electrical engineering. And then when he finished, he got it was an Australia-wide thing. They wanted three cadets from Australia to go to they're not around there, not his master's voice, not EMI, one of those firms, I forget anyway, they were to work for 18 months and then get a rise in their wages. Well, of course, the 18 months came and went and they didn't get anything. And he was boarding over there and he wanted his mother to go over and for them to buy a house and live, you know, for her to look after him. And he could look after her because Coralie was married and the other girl had become a nun. And so he left and he got in with some firm that was Australia-wide, and he that was in Wollongong. And then from there he went to Canada and he finished up being a millionaire. And he came back to... he married an Australian girl when he was going to Canada, and she came from Sydney. I don't know what her surname was, Nonnie someone. And they went to Canada, and he used to be a constructional engineer. He never touched anything worth it unless it was worth over $1 million. And of course, when Trudeau came into power, he objected to him. Some of the things that he didn't like his style of architecture or something or other, and they had an argument. So he said that he could keep his job, you know, he could, you know, get someone else to do his work if he wanted to. So he then came back to Australia, to Sydney. And what happened after that, I don't know. He had two sons. The eldest one was in the Canadian Air Force. He wasn't a pilot or an air crew, he was in the office. And he married one of the Guinness daughters. And their eldest son, they called it Guinness Rider. I don't know what they did that for. I don't know what people give him as a nickname. But there's a lot of difference in the ages. When they came back to Australia, the other little one was only a schoolboy. But he wasn't back in Sydney very long and he died. So I don't know anything about the rest of what happened to them. And one of Coralie's eldest daughter, he is the, I think they call him the chairman of the La Trobe University. She had five very, very clever daughters. And one of them was here at Queen Elizabeth II. And she's done research into side effects of drugs, and she's a biochemist and a chemotherapist as well. And she worked for 9 years with the doctor. They went from here and then they went to Adelaide, and she got sick of doing research work. She's doing nicotine, and she got a bit sick of doing that, so she thought she'd come and have a change. And they had a farm at Dinanup, and because when she got onto the farm there was really nothing for her to do, she got a bit bored there. And then this doctor that she'd worked with all these years, he rang her up and said that he was missing. Would she go back to Adelaide and marry him? So she packed up a trailer and a car and all her belongings and went back to Adelaide. What she's doing now, I don't know. That was through the Adelaide. The tobacco part was a worldwide thing. Well, it was nicotine, actually.
Would you give me your full name?
It's me, Marjorie, but it was Templeton.
Templeton. And whereabouts were you born?
140 Barker Road, 6 o'clock on the 8th of April, 1912. My father was a very clever, he left school when he was 12, but not because he was, you know, had to, but because he couldn't do any more at school. He was in the senior class, and I've still got his certificate in there that he, although he was only 12, he was still educated well enough to leave school. That was in Victoria, North Fitzroy. And he became an accountant, and he was supposed to be the most or the best educated accountant in Australia. He had all anything that there was an exam that could be done in accountancy, he did it. And when he died, apparently when they got married, he was still studying. It must have annoyed my mother, because when he died, she threw all the certificates away. I could have murdered her. They'd all gone. I was working, and when I came home, they'd all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that was sort of historical, like he had the first receipt that was ever given in New South Wales. He used to believe in that. And all of those, they all went too.
Mm.
And when he came here, he... or when he, you know, went to work, he went for was Wolfe and Weir, the partners. Well, Mr. Wolfe, Mr. Weir, they lived in Victoria Avenue. It's still there, the house. It's got a huge, big, long roof facing along towards the, near where the baths used to be.
And it's on the riverside of the road.
It's on the riverside.
Mm-hmm.
And they had quite a lot of daughters, and I used to go and play with them at various times.
Do you remember their names?
Oh, Frank Venn was the son, Guido was one, Zoe was another one. I've forgotten the other. Guido, I remember Guido, she was Mrs. Coburn. Zoe was the youngest one.